It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Explore Fairbanks radio show on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. I am Casey Gillum. I am the Director of Communications at Explore Fairbanks, and I'm joined in the studio today running the board, Mr. Jerry Evans. He's going to take a little bit of a backseat role on this, and I think I'm going to run the boat, but he's going to run the board. So thanks, Jerry, for being here. We are honored to be joined in the studio today by Tekla Butcher Monson from Trailbreaker Kennel. And we are thrilled to have you here, Tekla.
I'm excited to be here.
We have put together a bunch of questions here. We'll see kind of where this conversation leads us. We may not get to all these questions. We may get to all of them. We'll see how it goes. So for people who are not familiar with you, give us a little background on you and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So my name is Tekla. I am the eldest daughter of four-time Iditarod champion Susan Butcher and 1988 Yukon Quest champion Dave Munson. So I'm a lifelong Fairbanksian. I was born at Fairbanks Memorial, but I grew up for the first few years of my life out in Eureka, Alaska, which is about 150 miles northwest of here. And that was a wonderful childhood living in the bush. But, you know, when it was time for me to go to school and have playmates that weren't just puppies, my parents decided to relocate to the banks of the Chena here in Fairbanks. So they got a property there. And a couple years later, they founded Trailbreaker Kennel as a tourism business when they started partnering with the Riverboat Discovery. So I have been around sled dogs all my life. My parents never stopped breeding and raising sled dogs, though they did retire from racing when I was born. So I've been involved in the tourism industry for my entire life, and recently in the last 4 years, I took over as general manager of the company.
Very cool. So that's a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about Trailbreaker Kennel. You said it's a tourism kind of based dog mushing outfit, but what are some of the tour offerings you offer in the winter versus the summer? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So running sled dogs is a year-round thing. And the greatest thing about tourists coming to Fairbanks is that we're able to share our lifestyle while also bringing income to help us with the racing and the mentorship that we do at Trailbreaker. Obviously, my mom was the first woman to really dominate the sport. She was the top 10 for an entire decade. She really did a lot of great things for the sport and great things for women in the sport. And so I'm trying to keep that legacy alive by employing a lot of women, young women, and mentoring them through their first couple years, either working in tourism or racing. This weekend, I'm at the Junior Iditarod with one of our summer employees. Her name is Kira, and she's going to be running our dogs in the 150-mile Junior Iditarod. So that's kind of the basis of Trailbreaker. It's a lot about mentorship and a lot about empowering the next generation of women mushers. In addition, we do tours. We offer a lot of tours during the summer season. Summer is definitely the off season for dogs, so they're not training the long, challenging miles that we do in winter. Instead, they're pulling a non-motorized cart, you know, half a mile or so. They're swimming in the Chena River. They're playing like dogs in a play park. And it's also a really important time of the year because it's when our puppies are born. So
everybody loves puppies, right?
Everybody loves puppies. And gosh, they are just like the best therapy ever. We have this new offering in the summertime that's called Beer and Puppies. So basically we invite you into our puppy pen and we use it as a beer garden. And everyone has a few drinks, cuddles puppies. And my goodness, it's cheaper than therapy and it's better than therapy.
Sounds like an amazing evening.
Yeah. So I love doing that. But of course, education with the older dogs, they get jealous. And so they want to get a little bit of head scratches as well. So we'll do demonstrations of the dogs pulling the sleds for larger groups. And we'll show them how we care for the dogs in the winter and how we mix their food, what their diet's like, and really just what the lifestyle of dog mushing looks like.
Yeah. So one of the cool things that Trailbreaker does is they partner with the Riverboat Discovery. And tell us a little bit about that relationship. Tell us what you guys do at Trailbreaker for the Riverboat Discovery.
Yeah, so it's a long-standing relationship going on 30 years. I am not the longest employed person at the Riverboat, but I definitely started when I was just a little baby. So I'm almost there. As soon as I turn 32, maybe I'll win. But these guys... The riverboat started running up and down the Chena River on a varying schedule about the year that my parents moved to that property. And they said, hey, Susan and Dave, why don't you come out and wave at the boat and maybe bring a couple of puppies to show these guys what's going on there. And so eventually they started stopping the boat and they would wave and they'd play with the dogs a little bit. And guests started yelling out questions. And so my mom started answering the questions, and the commentator was having a hard time hearing her, so they threw her a mic. And then the rest is history. So nowadays we have a really succinct 15-minute show where it's an awesome conversation with the commentator. We actually get to hook up a dog team, and from the vantage point of the guests on the boat, they can see the dog team run around our property and then go for a nice swim after.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch. I had the distinct pleasure or joy of being able to actually be on the Trailbreaker property last summer and see you guys do it from that vantage point instead of from the boat. So it was really interesting to see and how well taken care of all your dogs are and how happy they are to do what they do. And that's always a good thing to see. And it's really enjoyable to see the faces of the people on the riverboat enjoying that experience. Because like you said, summer is typically kind of the down season for dog mushing in the Fairbanks area and other areas as well. But, you know, so to be able to give a visitor that entry into dog mushing even in the summer is very, very cool.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about it is it really gives our summer days structure. And so, of course, we're going to train the dogs and let them have playtime twice a day anyway. But it's paired around when the riverboat comes by, and I don't think any other sled dog kennel has dogs that react so much to toot toot.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because they know that they're about to go out and play.
So here's kind of a random question for you. On average, how many dogs do you guys have there at Trailbreaker that you are prepping for races, but maybe are, you know, growing from puppies? You know, how many do you often have their own property?
I like to keep anywhere between 30 and 40 dogs. So back in the day, during my mom's time, they had up to 120 dogs at a time. They had a lot of handlers, a lot of support, and they were putting multiple teams in races. That size of kennel is really not sustainable anymore. It's a lot of money, dog food, and all of the care has gone up. And so people are definitely downsizing these kennels and really focusing on training the dogs that they have. So what I like to do is keep three teams. We've got a JV team, maybe our younger dogs that are starting to race for the first time, varsity team, our seasoned veterans who are going out and running multiple races, and then our oldies. And the great thing about the oldies retirement team is as they start to slow down, they become wonderful mentors for the puppies. So a one-year-old will be put next to a 10-year-old, and they'll go for these shorter, easier runs, and it's just so much fun to watch that mentorship take place.
That's very cool. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're at the Junior Iditarod this weekend with one of your handlers, helping them with their race. Do you still race yourself?
I currently am taking a step back from racing. When I came back to Alaska after college, I did a couple of mid-distance races, and it was really fun, but I found that my joy came from the community element of it. And so I was really attracted to the idea of being more behind the scenes and putting on the races. So I love being there and training the dogs and having the goal of the race, but I'm happy to let somebody else run it.
Very cool. Well, that's actually kind of a good segue to this next question. You know, you talked about you've been in this business, you know, you've been at Trailbreaker for as long as you've been alive. I know some other kids who grow up kind of in that realm, you know, in a family business kind of want to not necessarily rebel, but want to move away from the family business. And some really have a desire to stay in it. When you were growing up, did you have visions that you were going to be involved in Trailbreaker Kennel, or were you kind of thinking you were going to move away from it and then kind of got called back into it for some reason or another?
I mean, I want to, like, I think a great thing about my mom was normalizing, like, do what you love and love what you do. And so for her, people didn't really believe in her dream of living in the bush and working with her animals and having a really solitary lifestyle. And so she went, She left Massachusetts, she left Colorado, and she came up to Alaska and found that great joy, and it happened to be in the lifestyle of racing competitively. And when I was born, they continually told reporters, you know, we want our children to do what they love. We want them to follow their passions and, you know, do what's joyful to them. And people would be like, oh, but Tekla's going to be an Iditarod champion. And my mom would say, she's going to do whatever she wants to do. And I think that sort of positive support really encouraged me to do what I love. And what I love happens to be anything community-based. So I just love bringing people together. And I also love this great lifestyle that we have. So the perfect place for that is bringing people together for races.
That's awesome. So, you know, you talked about your family's history with dog mushing, but dog mushing in the state of Alaska has this long storied history. It's Alaska's state sport, you know, but it's also very important today. You know, so when we're thinking about dog mushing in terms of it relating to a visitor, and you spoke a little bit to this, you know, we consider it kind of one of the big three, if you will, of winter activities, you know, those being dog mushing, ice art, and aurora viewing. But visitors can access aspects of dog mushing all year long, which you mentioned, you know, some of your summertime offerings that you guys have. How do you see dog mushing as part of the visitor industry and its kind of importance to the visitor industry here in the Fairbanks area?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think the most important thing is that it gives the dogs a job in the summertime. So dogs, these dogs love having a job. Just like a retrieving dog loves to fetch a stick, just like a herding dog loves to herd, the Alaskan Husky loves to pull. And so having sort of that structured time when they can demonstrate, even if it's just for 10 minutes, demonstrate their job really fills them with a lot of joy and keeps them, you know, active and stimulated throughout the summer. And so I think that's a great way where the visitor industry complements the seasonality of dog mushing. We also, in Southeast Alaska, there's a lot of opportunities to go dog mushing on glaciers. And that's always been a really nice thing for those dogs down there. We tend to keep our dogs in the interior because we love sharing them with people who come to Alaska, come to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Awesome. Well, we are quickly approaching our halfway break, so we are going to take a short break to hear from some of our sponsors here, and we will be back after the break with more with Tekla Butcher-Monson.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
With northern lights in the sky and plenty to do on the ground, winter in Fairbanks offers something for everyone. Let Explore Fairbanks help you discover all there is to see and do this winter in Fairbanks. Visit explorefairbanks.com to browse the events, calendar, find businesses to visit, or check out the Fairbanks Winter Guide. You can also visit us 7 days a week inside the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. From dog mushing to ice sculptures and skiing to theater, get out. Explore Fairbanks this winter.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back to Explore Fairbanks. I am Casey Gillum, the Director of Communications at Explore Fairbanks, joined in the studio today with Jerry Evans running the board for us. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
And with Tekla Butcher-Monson from Trailbreaker Kennel. Let me get it correct the first time this time. You know, so One of the interesting things that you brought out in the first part of this interview was that you said your interest when it comes to dog mushing right now is really kind of being behind the scenes and helping foster new things within the sport. And I think that's a perfect explanation and, you know, has led into you creating this new dog mushing race in the Fairbanks area, which is so phenomenal because I don't know the last time that we've had a new dog mushing race of this caliber. And I think it's really exciting. And I want to talk to you about that, obviously. Yep. So tell us more about it. What's the name? How long is it? Where is it going? Give us the details.
Okay. Well, I am beyond excited to announce my new race. It's starting to fill up. It is called the T-Dog. It's a new sled dog race celebrating the spirit of Susan Butcher. So this is kind of my memorial to my mom. I think it's really going to hopefully capture the spirit of what she loved about the sport. She was a very competitive person. So it's not really going to have that competitive edge, but it's going to really emphasize the fun and the joy of the lifestyle. So it's going to be more like a training run. And I think that works really well because it is a 200-mile race. It's going to be an Iditarod qualifier. And it's designed to be people's first Iditarod qualifier, first race where they're getting their dogs together, getting their team together, and realizing what they need to do to make that next step. So I was inspired to make this race because growing up with mushers who were thriving during the 80s, they were always talking about these fun weekend village races, kind of races that were thrown together, a little bit more casual, and just had a lot of community elements to them. So, for instance, maybe they would travel to their neighboring village of Minto. They'd run out 40 miles, have a big bonfire, come back, sleep in everybody's cabins, run out again the next day, and finish at a basketball game. And those races were always the ones that they looked back on so fondly. And also the ones where, you know, sometimes bleep would hit the fan, you know? they would be kind of some challenges out there, and mushers would help each other because it wasn't a big competitive race. So I loved hearing those stories growing up. Then after my mom passed away in 2006, I was invited to go on a memorial run of the Iditarod. I was 11 years old, and I traveled with my dad 700 miles across the Iditarod Trail, scattering my mom's ashes along the way and meeting the people who had known her in the villages. And that was a very cathartic experience, and it was also sort of my first foray into what long-distance sled dog travel can be and what it feels like to be greeted with such amazing hospitality in all of these checkpoint villages. And I had the amazing luxury of traveling that year not as a competitive racer. So we were sleeping at night in the villages, running just during the daylight. It was absolutely beautiful. We had such a good time, and I look back on that trip so fondly. I had the luxury of doing it again with my sister when she turned 11, and I think that that's the best way to travel, in the daylight and in the spring. And so I wanted to bring all those elements of fun, casual, and accessible racing to something in Fairbanks. So I decided to create the Tananaw Valley Sled Dog Race, and nicknamed the T-Dog, and it is going to happen here starting in Fairbanks on March 23rd this year. So it's a couple weeks after Iditarod finishes. Hopefully all the competitive teams will be able to be home and come out and help support their handlers who have been supporting them all winter. And I think it is going to be so, so much fun.
That it does sound like a lot of fun. And I was looking at your website for this event, you know, kind of in preparation for talking to you today. And that was kind of one of the resounding things that I saw, you know, through your descriptions and things, that it really is meant to be a fun race, and that there's some things that are going to be a little bit different from, you know, your Iditarods and your Yukon Quests. So you mentioned it's a 200-mile race starting in Fairbanks. Where is this 200-mile race going to?
Yeah, so it starts in Goldstream Valley. So if anybody's been to Ivory Jack's to park and have a burger and then go outside and look at the aurora, you know where we're going to be starting. Super locally area, and then we'll head out on the Dunbar Trail, a historic trail into the Minto Flats, turn north and head towards Old Minto and then up to New Minto. Minto, the village of Minto, is going to be our overnight checkpoint. We're going to have a band there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Then we'll have a big restart the next day in Minto, head back down towards Nenana, and finish at Trailbreaker Kennel in Fairbanks.
Very cool. So you mentioned that you're hoping that some of the long-distance competitive mushers would be able to come out and support their handlers and other people that are running this race. Is there opportunities at the start and maybe at the finish for the public to come out and do just that, to support the mushers and cheer them on and
absolutely
give them high fives and
absolutely
all that.
So there'll be lots of time for that, especially on the first day. Sunday, March 24th is going to be a really fun, easy day. So if anybody wants to go out trailgating, they are welcome to go along the trail and hang out with the mushers.
That's an excellent term. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the reason it's going to be especially fun on the Sunday of this race is that the first 100 miles of our 200 race do not count towards their finish time. So when they leave Goldstream Valley and head towards Minto, they've got 21 hours to get there, but that 21 hours isn't counted in their race time. So my hope is that the seasoned mushers are going to stop along the trail and hang out with the rookie mushers, and they're going to talk dogs and they're going to rest their dogs together. Maybe someone will be trailgating and set up a fire and everyone will sit around that and chat. And I really hope that that format breeds a lot of mentorship. Then by the time they get to Minto, they have time to bed their dogs down, go in and listen to the band, get back out, and by 8 a.m. the next morning, they're prepping for their mass start to head towards the finish line.
Awesome. So you were talking about the first 100 miles not counting towards, you know, race time, and that the fun aspect. Are there other things about this race that set it apart from things like the Iditarod and the Yukon Quest and even the Kuskokwim 300? Like, what are some of the other things that make the T-Dog the T-Dog?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that makes the T-Dog is the luxury of extra rest on your first run. The first run is really a camping trip. But as it is still about mentorship and about preparing you for the Iditarod, it's good because it's 100 miles where you have to be self-supported. We're not providing drop bags or straw or anything for them. So it's actually more similar to the Yukon Quest in that regard, where there's these 100-mile stretches in which you have to pack your own supplies. So that's going to challenge people to be more self-reliant in those first 100 miles, but they also will have the cushion and the luxury of being able to take as long as they want.
That's very cool. I think especially, you know, I can imagine for maybe a newer musher who isn't familiar with running long distances and competing in a long distance race, that having that cushion and just kind of getting their feet underneath them and would be a really nice kind of safe spot, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, apart from that, once we do start the 100 miles back, it's a pretty traditional race. They run for 50 miles, then they have a mandatory 4-hour rest, and then they run another 50 miles and finish the race. And so that's going to give them that training so that they know what it looks like to go into a Copper Basin or Cusco. And so I hope that that's helpful for them. But the biggest thing that really sets this race apart is just the intentionality that we're coming in with it being fun first. It's high fun, low ego. We don't have a purse for this race, so the 29 mushers out of 30 mushers that have signed up have all come at it for that aspect of fun.
That is super cool. Have we missed anything about the T-Dog that you want to share? Did I ask all the right questions?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
So the T-Dog 200 is, of course, our headliner event, and that's a mushing-only qualifier. But we're also putting on two other races this winter that are multi-sport. So they're open to skiers, bikers, mushers, and anything in between.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's going to be a lot of dog sports and human-powered sports using the same trail. And this is because a lot of fat tire bikers came to me and they said, hey, we would really love to travel that trail as well. It's like, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
And so we are doing a 50-mile fun run for ski jor and bike jor teams on the river. We're doing 110 for mushers, skiers, bikers, bike jors. And those are going to be happening on Saturday, March 23rd, before our headliner, 200-miler.
So is there a potential that you would see a dog team go by and then see a fat biker go by,
you know,
within minutes of each other?
If I had the luxury of not being race director and I was just going out on the trail to support, I would go to the Chena Pump boat launch at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 23rd. I would take my snow machine downriver.
This sounds like some insider knowledge, people.
I would take my snow machine downriver 10 or 20 miles. I would set up a fire, and I would watch the skiers, bikers, mushers, ski jurors, everybody fly by. It's going to be a really fun day.
Oh, that does sound like fun. Well, Tekla, I am so impressed with you setting up this race. I know it can't be an easy undertaking, and I know that there's all sorts of logistics and everything that go into setting up a race like this. So I really commend you for taking that on and making this happen.
Yeah, it's super funny because I think I am very unique in this lifestyle that I want to put on races. There are so many mushers that are like, I want to put on this race. I want to put on this race. But they want to put it on because they want to race it. And I am the flip opposite. I just want to put it on because I want to put it on. And well, I have no interest in racing.
That is very cool. So I want to shift gears just a little bit. You know, one of the things that's really cool is that you were recently appointed to the Explore Fairbanks Board of Directors. I can say from my, you know, my personal stance, I'm so excited to see you there. It's awesome to have younger, fresher, newer faces on the board combined with some of our older, more knowledgeable, long-standing board members. So really seeing that crossover between newer and established and really seeing all those like minds come together. But what are you hoping to get out of that experience of being on our board of directors?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my process with the T-Dog. I came up with this idea a couple years ago, but I didn't know exactly what the race was going to look like. So I spent 2 years having conversations with mushers who had run these village races, people who had put on races, who had marshaled races before, just anybody who had experience in this realm and putting it on. And I think that all of the ideas I came are just like a shuffling through of the conversations that I had. So listening was really, really important with taking this race. And at this point, I feel like I've filtered through it and I'm able to say, this is what I want the race to look like and this is what is in the spirit of Susan Butcher. Now, I hope with the Explore Fairbanks Board of Directors that I can do the same thing. I think this first term that I'm on, it will actually be a lot of listening, a lot of hearing what people find important and what the industry needs. And I think that's going to help inform me as I take on the next chapter of Trailbreaker Kennel and what I can help support the Fairbanks community with and what we're needing. But I also think that once I have a better sense from all of the listening, I'll be able to, I don't know, fill in as I can. And I'm sure I'll crack some jokes and make fun of people in the meantime.
That's awesome. So what do you think you're able to bring to the table? I mean, your energy, for one, is amazing. And I think that's going to be, you know, awesome inside that room. But what other things do you think that you can bring to the table from your perspective, from your history, from anything else? What makes you unique? I'm not a big fan of that word, but what makes you, you know, a good part of that board?
I think maybe just the fact that I'm younger and in a different. Have you had a dog musher on the board before?
You know, if we have, it's been quite a while. I can't speak to that directly, but
yeah.
I think it's been a while if we ever have had one.
So dog mushers definitely tend to be a little bit more insular. So having access to that community and being able to be a mover and shaker in that community, I think will bring a lot more perspectives. So I'm excited for that. And yeah, I studied theater, if that's not obvious. So I think I bring a level of performative and like guest-based perspective to everything that I do. I love thinking about the audience perspective.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think you do have a really unique perspective. Again, with that word.
You know, that's okay. I mean, I have a unique name, so I've heard it my whole life.
You know, but I think you bring a different energy to our board. And I think it's going to be really a fun experience for you. But I think it's also going to be a great experience for our board. And like you said, maybe helping us tap into some resources and some markets that we haven't been able to in the past. And I think that's really exciting for Explore Fairbanks as a whole, but also for the tourism industry to have somebody with your knowledge and your history on, you know, on our board.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's very fun to straddle the line of the like authenticity and then being able to share that authenticity with other people, because it is like genuinely, I don't make this up, and it's not just marketing photos. Like, dog mushing is such an amazing lifestyle, and I just want to be able to share that nitty grittiness without making the guest too cold, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So thank you so much for your time today, Tekla. This has been a really great conversation. I've loved learning more from you and about your background and your pedigree and your history and what your future looks like. And I think that's really exciting to know that you're here in the Fairbanks area and are going to help continue to make Fairbanks tourism and Fairbanks dog mushing and all of that better in the future. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today on Explore Fairbanks. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.